First speaker, for the Learnathon, Rav Shapiro is actually one of the first alumni of Yeshiva Toras Chaim. I don't know, was the Learnathon going on back in Rebbe's day?
I don't think so.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, Rav Shapiro has graced us with the opportunity of the tremendous chus to hear some Divya service.
If I see him still a little, don't be nervous at the government parade. I'll do it by somewhere else. I'm really very honored to be at your Learnathon for the high school. I know some of the Beis Medrash Bochum are here. And for me, that's a very big deal. Rabbi Brigida invited me, and I have such admiration and respect for Rabbi Brigida and for all of the Rabbeim that are here. I'm only not mentioning each one by name because Baruch Hashem, firstly, there are many Rabbeim in the room, and I'm really very, very close. I have a deep connection with all of them. So to be in the presence of all of the Rabbeim, the high school, some of the Beis Medrash, and I mentioned, as I said a moment ago, Rabbi Brigida, because he was kind enough to call and ask me if I would be able to come. And so I'm very, very grateful. It's great to be part of your Learnathon. I hope, Ezras Hashem, that the learning and your steiging, ritzufay, straight, back to back, going, should serve as refuas and yeshuas for those in Klal Yisrael who need it, and should allow all of you to mamash vaksois and become tremendous, tremendous Talmidei Chachomim and Gedolim be Yisrael. I don't know if you're familiar with the topic. Rabbi Brigida asked me if we could speak about striving to achieve a level of godless batayra. You know, real, real godless batayra. So I divided up the talk into a number of points, but you might find the one that I'm beginning with to be a little bit funny. I don't know if funny is the right word, but I'm about to give you quick back-to-back-to-back stories, Mises, Gedolim, and while each of them are extraordinary, Hatzara Shava Shebehen, which means the common denominator is, you would think, but how does that relate to me? What Shayachos is there between those stories and your speaking about striving for godless Batayra? So in that sense, it seems like a funny way to start, because I'm letting you know in advance. You always need a game plan. You can't do anything in life without a game plan. Really, the step that we're starting with would seem to be way, way out of our reach. There's a maisa that I enjoy saying over. I hope that the Olam here understands the profundity of this maisa. Many who have heard the maisa have told me they find it from the most extraordinary stories. Whenever you're going to hear a story about the Gadol Hador, Reb Moshe Feinstein, you understand those mices are mamish in a league in and of themselves. Decades ago, three of the Gedolei Yisrael were in a room because they were deliberating a particular shaila. I believe it was a shaila, and it could be that when I spoke a year ago, I mentioned some of these stories, or I mentioned them from time to time recently at an oinig in our home. So if you heard it, I apologize for the chazara, but chazara is great. And in this room, I think it was a shaila in Hilchis Gittin, was deliberating, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Reb Yoshev, and Yibalda ben Chaim L'Chaim, our Gadol Hador, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They were in a room. And for a couple of hours, as I heard the story, they were deliberating the shaila, and they didn't have an answer. Now, I usually stop at this point to remind the Olam, when the three Gedolim and Ga'inim I mentioned a moment ago were in a room and talking for 2 hours, it was nothing like when you and I talk, even if I would pick the Rabbeim in this room. The Rabbeim know that if they would speak amongst themselves, it would be something where they would ask a shaila, go back and forth. When the three Gedolim that I mentioned a moment ago spoke, you were talking about mamish, boom, 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 boom. You're talking about 2 hours of learning that for us would be 1,000 light years. You need to understand what 2 hours was. I mean, you were just talking about rifling thousands and thousands and thousands of Mar Mekaymos. And after the 2 hours, they said, we have to call America. And so they brought a phone in, and there was an attendant that brought it in and dialed. Calling America meant, we have to ask Rav Moshe Feinstein. And as I heard the story that Shiloh was presented, that the three deliberated on for a couple of hours, which I told you would have been like a thousand of our light years. And as they finished the question, Mamish Alamakom on the spot, Reb Moshe gave them the answer. And as I heard, after Reb Moshe gave the answer and the phone was hung up, the three Gedolim stood up and danced, sang around the table to the words, Moshe Emes Visayrase Emes. I hope the Olam understands the profundity, how extraordinary that Maisa is. I just mentioned to you Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Elyashiv and our Gadol Hador Reb Chaim Kanievsky. For a couple of hours deliberated a Shiloh, you could only imagine, like I said, thousands and thousands of Marmakoimas. And on the spot, Reb Moshe gave them the answer. There's another Maisa with Reb Elyashiv. I heard Diane Dunner say it over multiple times. How after he was in Eretz Yisrael and he was leaving, so he wanted to stay Bekesher with Reb Elyashiv. So we asked Reb Elyashiv if they could stay in touch. Reb Elyashiv said yes. He said, could I call? Reb Elyashiv said, no, let's do it through writing. But then Diane Dunner said, but if there's a Shiloh that I need either right away or whatever it might be, can I call? And to that, Reb Elyashiv said yes. Diane Dunner asked him for his phone number. Reb Elyashiv said, the phone number, my phone number is 53. I don't know the rest of the number. You have to ask my wife. And then in his inimitable style, Diane Dunner would storm. Maran Paisik Adar Reb Elyashiv, who had Kol HaTorah Kula at his fingertips, Cheshbonos in Mikvois, Cheshbonos in Erevin, Cheshbonos that when the towers went down on 9/11, and there were unfortunately countless Shilas about Agunas, the husband really not alive, and all of the mathematical calculations and computations were brought to Reb Elyashiv, the distance from the desk to the elevator, is the husband alive? All the minutiae of math, all at the fingertips of Reb Elyashiv, but his own phone number? You have to ask my wife. It seems like a funny way to start speaking to a high school at a learn-a-thon about Godless Batira. We cannot fathom what I just said about Reb Moshe. We can't fathom or touch what I said about Reb Elyashiv. And our Gadol Hador Reb Chaim, you know the well-known story that when he was coming a number of years ago out of Letterman, where Reb Chaim used to daven up until a few years ago. Now I believe Reb Chaim davens in his home, or at least in large part. That means the minyan is brought there. So as he was leaving Letterman, somebody stopped Reb Chaim and asked him where a particular chazal was found, where there was a quote he was looking for. And as the story's been said countless times, you could watch me to appreciate it a little bit better. I'll try to act it out. The Shiloh was asked to Reb Chaim, and he was leaving Letterman Shul, and he heard the Shiloh, he turned like this, and he took a step, and after he finished that step, he said, no, it's not in Bavli. And then he took another step and said, no, it's not in Yerushalmi. Then he took a third step and said, no, not in Medrash. After a few steps, the first step he went through Bavli, the next step he went through Yerushalmi, the third step he went through Medrash, the next step he went through the Teres Kayanim and the Tesefta, and after about 5 and 6 steps he said, ah, it's a Zayar and this Chaylek. This is the way the Maisa happened. And how about the well-known Maisa when Reb Chaim would take the daily walk and somebody asked our Gadol Hadar, how many times does it say Maisha in the Torah? So on the spot, Reb Chaim looked and said, 612. Later that evening, the person came back to him and said to him, obviously in a very respectful way, actually, there are 614. So Reb Chaim, with this beautiful smile, said, that's because you and I calculate differently. You obviously calculated by using some type of computer. And if you use a computer and you press in Mem Shin Hey, which is Moshe, that's right. 612, like I said, was Moshe. But one time the Torah says Mi Se, from a shepsel, a sheep, which is also spelled Mem Shin Hey. And another time in talking about ribis and usury, it says Masha Yodai Mem Shin Hey. So if you use a computer doesn't differentiate between Mem Shin Hey of Moshe or Mi Se or Masha Yodai. So your way, you'll get 614. If you do it my way, you get 612. Just last week in the Parsha Shir, I said over at Maisa, somebody asked Reb Chaim. There are three times that Chazal say when you give something, you'll get it in return. Meaning that benefit. The obvious one is now we have Parsha Shkolim coming up. What does it say about Shkolim? V'nasnu, vavnu, and safnu, and vav. The Goyim says that's what's called a palindrome. It goes back and forth in both directions. Vavnu, and safnu, and vav. There are two other times as well. You give tzedakah, you get back. Kibud avim, you honor your parents, you get back. Meaning, Be'ezus Hashem, your children will honor you. And the third one is by forgiveness. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, you forgive somebody, your ma'avir al midaisav, Hashem does it with you. So on the spot, the question for Reb Chaim was, where do you see in the Torah that these three are taka, you'll give and you'll get back. You give tzedakah, you'll get back. You give kibud avim, you'll get back. You go ahead and you honor and you forgive, you'll get back. So Reb Chaim on the spot answered, what do you mean? Because all three in the Torah, when the Torah speaks about that mitzvah, it's a palindrome, meaning it goes back and forth. Tzedakah, I just told you, v'nasnu, vavnun, safnun, vav. It goes back and forth in both directions. Similarly, where do we learn kibud avim from? The pasuk tells us by the sale of the Bechaira, by Esav and Yaakov and Yitzchak, when he brought food to his father, when Esav brought food to his father, the pasuk says, Vayave le'aviv. Now, obviously, it would be easier if you looked in a chumash, but Vayave is spelled Vav Yud Vez Aleph le'aviv Lamed Aleph Vez Yud Vav. Vayave le'aviv is a palindrome. It goes back and forth in both directions. Similarly, where do you learn forgiveness from? You learn forgiveness from the end of Parshas Vayechi when it says that Yosef forgave his brothers. The pasuk says, Ona Sana, you're forgiven. Ona Sana in both directions is a palindrome. So on the spot, Reb Chaim said it's a davar pashut. The three things that you give, you'll get back, are the three things in the Torah that are a palindrome. V'nasnu, tzedakah back and forth. V'yaveh la'aviv, kibud avim back and forth. Anasana, forgiveness back and forth. When that story was told to the Gadol Hador, to Mor and Rebaron Leib Steinman, Rebaron Leib responded, because they asked, how's it possible? How's that possible? So Rebaron Leib answered, somebody has a makol at the grocery store. A makol at the store that has thousands of items, a small store. So the person who works there, he'll know where most of the items are. A few might get past, you know, him in knowing where they are. But the one who owns the grocery store, the owner of the store, knows every pitch of every corner, every single nuance of exactly where the item is. It's all laid out in front of him. Rebaron Leib, ki yadua, said about our Gadol Dor Reb Chaim, he owns the store. He's the owner of the store. Kol HaTorah Kulay is laid out in front of him. Like we may have laid out in front of us three lines of Ashrei. Half of Matayvu or Adayin Olam. Rebaron Leib said about Moran Reb Chaim, our Gadol Dor, he owns the store. Cole, imagine, I'm looking at that beautiful back wall, imagine every single page of Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifri, Sifro, it's all in front of Reb Chaim, he owns the store. So if you own the store, you're able to look and say, V'nosnu back and forth, V'yavi lava back and forth, Anasana back and forth. Now why in the world would I start a learn-a-thon to a beautiful high school that should be learning with Sufis, that wants to hear about steiging, like real steiging, striving in Godless Batayra with a story about dancing to Moshe Emes V'Sayrasay Emes, Moran Rebbe Yashiv not knowing his phone number, and Reb Chaim with Moshe, the palindromes, with every step, Bavli and Yerushalmi. It seems so incredibly and impossibly out of our reach. And that's precisely why I chose, with the different steps, to start with that. Do I think that people will have the ability to reach the levels I just mentioned? I hope so, b'siyata d'shmaya. As insurmountable and as impossible as it seems, adarabba, I give everyone a bracha, b'siyata d'shmaya merubah. Those stories should be said about you. But in my humble opinion, the first step to striving for godless b'tayra is knowing that it exists, what I just mentioned. A person cannot settle and have she'ifas that are low. A person who hears these words that we said the last 12, 13 minutes has to at least understand the gedolim, the godless b'tayra, owning the store. While we may or may not ever come close to achieving those levels, you have to know that it exists. Not to know that it exists. Not to know that our gedolim own the store. Not to know that a person could achieve the level of kol ha'tayra kulay, back and forth. How in heaven's name could a person strive for godless b'tayra if they're clueless that those levels even exist? So I deliberately chose to start with those five or six stories, which is not what I usually do. Just because I felt it so critical in talking about striving for godless b'tayra, for there at least to be the understanding, when you walk out of here in 20 or so minutes or you start learning, let those stories percolate in the back of your head, that you at least chop, and that you deher, that there is such a level of godless b'tayra, of havanas ha'tayra, of mastery of kol ha'tayra kulay. And then, maybe, efsher. But if you don't start with that, I don't know how you could stand a chance. Because if you don't chop that level exists, then why in heaven's name would you strive for it? You don't even know what there is to strive for. So, what could we do? In a few weeks, we're going to talk about, in Megillas Esther, Achashverosh ruled Mehoidu Vat Kush. The Gemara Megillah Yud Aleph wants to know, what's the distance between Hoidu and Kush? There's a machlekes, Charomar, Charomar. The Gemara says, one says Hoidu to Kush, we're the opposite ends of the world, and another says Hoidu to Kush, we're neighboring. Now you have to understand, what does the Gemara mean? Like, how could there even be a debate on something that's a metzius? I'm in Taras Chaim now. I live that way, or some way, about 6 or 7 tenths of a mile. Rabbi Bergida lives across the street diagonal, as does Rabbi Kier. I just gave you a metzius. They live a few hundred feet from me, to the left of me, to the right of me, and I live 7 tenths of a mile from this yeshiva. That's a metzius. What does the Gemara mean? The distance, I know, of course, the pshat that if something's the opposite extremes and the world is round, then they also touch each other. I get it. But how do you understand the Gemara's kasha? If two places are a distance, from here to New York is about 1,100 miles. That's it. Are they neighboring? Which is it? So the Sar Sholomi Bells, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, says that perhaps the Gemara is talking about two types of Jews. Everybody makes a mistake. And everybody slips up and needs to improve. The Shaila is how much you believe you have the ability to rebound, repair, and bounce back. You see, Hodu to Kush are really the names of concepts. Hoidu is from the word hoid. Hoid means beauty and splendor. And kush, if you look in a dictionary, kush means dark and blackened, misery. The Sar Sholomi Bell says that's what the Gemara is asking. What's the distance from kush to hoidu? What's the distance from somebody who feels I've fallen and I just don't know that I have any shaychus to this, to the level of hoid, the level of splendor, grandeur, and what is that distance? That, says the Sar Sholem Ibelz, is what the Gemara is telling you. Sometimes you believe that the distance of going from where I am to what I could become is mamish the opposite end of the world. I can't do it. I have no shaychus to that. How in the world do you want me to connect with those opening five stories? But there's another opinion of the Gemara that says the distance of going from Kush to Hoidu, from difficult to beautiful, is mamish touching each other. It's like from here to across the street. In fact, Amalek knows that, and that's why if you take a look in Parsha Zachar, what does it say? Asher korcha baderech means that they want you to believe that the derech is insurmountable. They want you to believe that the derech is like going from here to Australia and back, and you'll never do it. What better proof do you need? What's the gematria of Amalek? 240. What's the gematria of Safek? 240. When a person gives into their Safek, they're letting Amalek win. And that, says the Sar Sholem Ibelz, is how to read the Gemara. Everybody has moments of doubts, of kush, of difficulty. But how close do you believe that the Hoid is? You believe that it's impossible, or you believe it's next door? The Sar Sholem Ibelz says, especially, by the way, in an Ibri or a leap year, because what does it mean? Leap. Taka, to make the leap. That's mamish what the Svarim say. Even though it sounds funny that I used an English word to express it, that's what the Svarim say. A person who may not be doing exactly what he should, he's not having the best day, the best week, the best month, the best Seder, the best, I don't know. What is the distance from Hoidu to Kush? Some will have you believe that it's from one end of the world to the other, but in reality, they're next door. It's just a moment, a leap. Maybe it's just a few hours of a learnathon. I don't know, just saying, maybe that's what it is. Everybody has the ability to strive for she'ifas and godless batayra. Yeah, those five stories in the beginning were pretty impressive. Very, I should say, capital letters. But it begins from believing that to go from a level of kush to haidu, a level of impossible to I can, is next door. There's a vart from Reb Meir Shapiro I would actually tell you. It could be from the most inspiring that I know. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem to go out and to count the stars. Avraham Avinu went out, he attempted to count the stars, the Rebbeinu Shalom responded, Ko yezaracha, so shall your children be. Now the Poshe Pshat is, they'll be like stars. Either they'll be bright like stars, numerous like stars, illuminate like stars, different like stars. That's not what Reb Meir Shapiro says. Reb Meir Shapiro says a different part. Reb Meir Shapiro says that when Avraham Avinu went out to count, why did he attempt to count? You can't count stars. It's not possible to count stars. It's not humanly possible to count stars. You can't do it. And yet, what did Avraham Avinu do? He went out and he attempted the impossible. Zachter Meir Shapiro, that's what Hashem said. Kol Yizaracha. That's the way Kol Yisrael is. It's inseared in our DNA and entrenched in our DNA to attempt the impossible. Kol Yizaracha means that's the way it will be. They will attempt. What was he counting for? It's not possible to count stars. As insurmountable and as impossible as it seems, Ko Yizaracha, attempting the impossible, is exactly who we are. And so maybe, even though we think things are a great distance from Kush to Hoidu, we at least attempt the impossible. I know everybody's familiar with the story, at least most of us. After the war, the Telzer Rashiv Reb Eliyahu Meir Bloch was on the Lower East Side. Famous story. And he went into a Meicher Sfarim and he asked for a Ktzais. Everybody learns Ktzais. And the fellow, the Meicher Sfarim, took it off the shelf. He lovingly dusted it off. He handed it to the Telzer Rosh Hashiva. And he said, take good care of this, Rosh Hashiva. It's the last Ktzais that will be sold in America. The last Ktzais sold in America. How many tens of thousands of volumes of Ktzais How many hundreds of thousands of B'nai Torah since then, 80 years ago, are steiging and harving over a ktsais? Sometimes a person will tell you something's impossible. It's not impossible. There's a Rav in London, Rav Bernstein, who said a great vart. The Gemara wants to know, Minayin l'tchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah, which means in English, how do I know that there's such a thing, where do I see in the Torah that there's such a thing as tchias ha-meisim? Rav Bernstein says you should read it differently. You should read it by putting the question mark after the third word, not the fifth word. Minayin l'tchias ha-meisim, how do I know that there's something called tchias ha-meisim, that the dead will live again? The answer is min ha-Torah. I know it from the Torah. And what he meant was, do you know the vibrancy of Torah that's taking place in the world today, both Bekamos and Be'echos? Yet maybe 80, 90, 100 years ago, when people came over to this country, they thought, it's finished, it's over, it's archaic, it's from the dinosaur age. It's not happening. Rav Bernstein said, Minayin l'tchias ha-meisim, how do you know the dead are going to live again? Min ha-Torah, because of the vibrancy of Torah. It's exciting to be able to participate, at least for me, to be able for these moments to join in your learn-a-thon, because that shows me that there's tchias ha-meisim. You know it, min ha-Torah. Things seem impossible. You think, I thought I'd ever finish? What are you talking about? But if you believe that the distance from Kush to Hoidu is next door, not opposite end of the world, if you believe what Rav Meir Shapiro says, Koye Zaracha, it's possible. You got to want it. A number of years ago, there was an elderly man in his 90s who came out from the apartment of the Gadol Hador, Moran Rashke Bahagar of Shach, and he was seen crying. So somebody asked him, are you okay? Everything okay? He answered, yes. Only when the fellow stopped the tears, he asked what was the matter, and this elderly man answered in Yiddish, Zevos is Givorn von Lazer and Zevos is Givorn von Mir. Look at what became of Rav Shach, Rav Lazer Shach, and look at what became of me. He explained, about 80 years earlier, he and Rav Shach, the Gadol Hador, were Chavrusas. And it was the coldest, most brutal, bitter, cold winter. And they were learning in the attic of a shul. And at one point, this man in his 90s said, 80 years ago, I turned to Rav Shach and I said, if Eliyahu HaNavi would come to the door now and allow that one bakasha could be fulfilled, what would you ask? So Rav Shach said to me, what would you answer? So the man who was starving and freezing said, I would ask for a dekel, a blanket, and a piece of bread. He was freezing and starving. You can't blame him. Then he asked Rav Shach again, what would you ask for? And Rav Shach said, he had just finished davening Shachris when in Ava Rabba he said, with the most intense kavana, v'horei neinu b'sayrasecha, he said, I would ask Eliyahu HaNavi to please once again fulfill those words within me, v'horei neinu b'sayrasecha. 80 years later, the Chavrusa was crying and said, Zevos is givorn fun lezer, and Zevos is givorn fun mir. I asked for a piece of bread and a blanket. Look what became of me. And he asked for a fulfillment of a Hari Neinu B'Sayra Secha, and look what became of him. There is the she'ifa, there is the striving, a person has to want it. I'll end with a maisa, which is a bracha that I give every one of you. There was a fellow who had a bone marrow transplant in the city of El Paso in Los Angeles. I know I mentioned it in a shul a little while ago. After the bone marrow transplant, a person has to remain there for 100 days, in case he's needed again. Two of his friends from New York said, let's fly out to LA and visit our chaver. And they spent a few days. The friend's name was Beinish. And one day of the visit, Beinish said, you know, there's somebody from Yerushalayim who's also here for a bone marrow transplant. Let's go to the hospital and give him words of encouragement. The three got in the car, they went to the hospital. When they got there, the head nurse said, "You're too late, he had the procedure half an hour ago." They started to leave dejectedly. They wanted to give words of encouragement, and it wasn't able to happen. As they were leaving, the head nurse, he was a man, probably the head nurse for about 40 or so years, he says to the three of them, "Hang on, before you leave, could you do me a favor? His wife is over there. Usually before anybody has the bone marrow transplant, I tell them what to expect. They'll feel dead, they'll look dead, they'll have no strength, they'll be literally lifeless and listless. I couldn't tell it to the guy because I speak English, he speaks Hebrew, there was a language barrier. That's his wife. You people are Jews, you speak Hebrew. Tell his wife what I just told you, she shouldn't worry. He had the procedure half an hour ago. He'll look dead, he'll feel dead, he won't be able to move, listless, lifeless. Please, could you, because the language barrier, I couldn't do it, could you tell her what I just said?" As he's telling it, they and the wife are looking past him through a glass wall, and there was the fellow half an hour ago who had the bone marrow transplant. He moved his feet off the bed and stood up, albeit slowly. He took the IV pole. He walked to the closet, put on his Bieber hat. He went to the sink to wash Netilas Yadayim, and then walked back into bed. The male nurse was shrieking, a ghostly shriek. "It's not possible. It's just absolutely not possible." My friend, who was one of the three, turned to the male nurse and said, "With all due respect, there's only two possible explanations to what happened. Either we just witnessed a one in a million medical miracle, or maybe you just told me that because of the language barrier, you speak English, she speaks Hebrew, it was the first time that you could not tell the patient what they wouldn't be able to do. Maybe because you didn't tell the patient what they wouldn't be able to do, they were able to do it. Because if you constantly tell somebody you can't and you won't and you can't and you won't, it'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy." He broke down crying. He never meant to harm anybody, but he admitted the fellow was right. If you tell somebody they're going to feel dead and listless and lifeless and have no strength and look dead and feel dead, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it's the first time, because of a language barrier, you couldn't go ahead and say anything to him. He didn't know what he wasn't supposed to be able to do, so guess what? He surprised you and he did it. And I think that's true about every one of us. A person has the ability to really believe that the distance from kush to hoidu, from I can't to I can, is not opposite end of the world. It's just here and right there. Koyi is aracha, that is who we are. It's ingrained and seared into our DNA. So maybe the way that I began wasn't such a way out way to begin. Remember the mice with Reb Moshe, the mice with Reb Yosef, and the three from Reb Chaim? There is a godless batayr and a shifas batayr that exists in the world. Will we reach that impossible level? We can try. We could believe ko yez aracha. Don't let anybody tell you, "You can't, I won't, you can't, I won't." You're not told you can't, you won't, and you'll do it. It's possible. The distance from Kush, I can't, to Hodu, I can, may taka just be across the street. How do you know Tchias HaMesim is true? Because I look at the vibrancy of Torah. The last Ketzois sold in America, tell that to the hundreds of thousands who have learned the Ketzois millions upon millions of times. I hope that Be'ezus Hashem, through the learnathon of the next while, everyone will appreciate striving for and steiging for unprecedented levels of true godless batayra. And Be'ezus Hashem, may everyone in this room, like Baruch Ber used to say, vaksois to be a goyin and a tzaddik, and a major, major godel be Yisrael. Hatzlacha Rabbah.